Look at the parasha, and we see the story of Yaakov working for Lavan. The Rambam in Hilchos Chiyuvos Paralim describes responsibilities of the worker vis-a-vis his employer. He uses Yaakov as a mashal. So it means he's understanding that Yaakov, what Yaakov was doing was not something which we look at as the special tzitkas of Yaakov Avinu, but this is something really intrinsic. This is proper way to look at it. We understand maybe Yaakov was to an extreme, but we said that these are the concepts which we're supposed to look at. To be hired by somebody to work for him for 7 years with an arrangement, and then after the person to impact the arrangement negatively, and then to work again for another 7 years with the same mesiras, and he describes it, that he had this heat by day, the ice by night, and he protected the sheep perfectly. It's a madrega which it's hard for us to picture. You're working for an employer, and you know he promises you a bonus, and then he doesn't give you the bonus. You know, I mean, we're already upset at him. It was only a bonus. It wasn't the schiras. It's really hard for us to work with him honestly afterwards. But to go above and beyond the call of duty, forget it. You know, I used to, I'm good at computers, so you would take care of his computers a little bit, etc. But to go above and beyond, I'm done with that. You know, relationship is damaged. Here wasn't the bonus. Here was the etzem schiras. For 7 years, you know, to hear that level of. So, what's the mita? Which is this? Is the Torah? The Torah goes at length to describe this. It's the mita of Nemonis. It's the mita of Emes. Yaakovina was the Ish Emes, and the Torah is giving us. We see Avraham Avinu. The Torah describes Barichus Avraham Avinu's mita Sachesed. The Torah is describing Barichus Yaakovina's mita of Emes. You know, basically, the conversation with Yaakov Avinu and Emes usually goes like this: Yaakov Avinu was Midas Emes, so what's Pshat Hebrew? He was Merama Esav, like that's his parsha. That's always the conversation. Like, you know, like I have a better conversation. Yaakov Avinu Midas Emes. Look what he did. What his Emes is. So then you can ask a kasha once you understand what it means to handle with a love and a Ramai, which he changed his maskaras according to Chazal 100 times during the whole time. And still, he was Oyvim ben Emonis. Then you can start asking the question: what's found in last week's parasha? But to you, the hair, what it means, the midas emes of a Yaakov Avinu, it's not even there. For some reason or other, we almost can picture ourselves working by Mesiris ben Emonis when it's a Chesed. More than when it's a job, because when I'm doing it, the Torah is, I'm volunteering. You know, you have these volunteers, Baruch Hashem, the tremendous mesiras that they're there. They come in late at night and early in the morning, and they take care and they help, etc. Because I'm expressing chesed, I feel good about myself. I feel like I'm a tzaddik. I feel like I'm, there's payback. Over here, it's just a job, a job. You know, we get involved in. What are the societal norms of what's the attitude towards jobs? You know, so for some reason or other, that is societal norms, the attitude towards jobs. It's a job, you know. It's not really full of krayas, you know, when you don't take it so seriously. You start learning the halachas of what the krayas of a poil to the balabayas. We say that's not our society. I'm not talking about the secular world for sure, but even the Yiddish welt, The Medrash says that Laban comes running afterwards, and Yaakov asks him, he says, what did you find me from Mekol Klivei Secha? He says, Benoik Shabarlam of a Chosin, if a son-in-law lives with his father-in-law for 20 years, you're going to find some things he's taking home, he took home. Nothing. Nothing's there. He didn't take him out an iota of anything which belongs to Laban. There's nothing there. That level of Zahirus. Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says, "V'ayim munas yitecha chesin shuas chachma v'da'as." The Gemara says, "What does this pasuk mean?" Yivas Hashem hiotzaroi. So the Gemara says two pshatim. Three pshatim, and the Gemara says one of the pshatim is it's discussing about what the person has asked after 120 years. The person comes to Shemayim. The first question is emunas. Nasasam nasatam emuna. Were your business dealings honest? That's the first question. Tosfos and Sanhedrin asks Akasha. The Gemara over there says that the first part of my marriage is modern. The first question is Bizal Torah. Over here it says the first question is Nasasavata Amuna. There's also another Gemara. The Gemara says that you have a box of Averis, Mikavit Barosh, as Gazel's Kavit Barosh. Tosfos says, you take have Averis, that's going to be the first issue. If he doesn't have Averis, you want to verify what he doesn't have Averis. So the first question is Bizal Torah. But the person has the virus. The first issue is the first thing the person is going to address is how you talking. Put in mind, how you talking. So was at the mamunah. How could you not be honest? How could you steal? There's kavet barosh, is gezel. Shows why. Why is that so? Why is that so imperative? That's the first issue. It's bad. It's horrible. It's not good. We could think of other things which maybe in our minds are worse. Pasuk says Hashem Elokim Emes. Because of this pasuk Hashem Elokim Emes, we're noyeg that the halacha. You say that the pasuk, the end of Parsha Shitzis, the pasuk. In Parsha Shlach and Ani Hashem Elokeichem, the next bracha which Chazal instituted starts with the words Emes, Emes V'Yatziv, Emes Emuna. But you're not supposed to be masik between the word Elokeichem and Emes, even to answer Kaddish, Kedusha, because since the pasuk says Hashem Elokim Emes, you're not supposed to be masik between Elokim and Emes. So Hashem Elokeichem Emes. So it's actually kach. The Chazal took this pasuk, Hashem Elokim Emes, and said it's so important that we're going to institute it into davening. And the next bracha starts with the word Emes. We must be semech Hashem Elokeichem to the word Emes. So what does it mean Hashem Elokim Emes? Hashem is true. As opposed to what? That's a munah. We believe a Kaddish Baruch Hu exists. It's true. What do the words mean? We live in a world, and if you want to translate the word emes, is what's real. I'll tell you a story, and I made it up. It's not true. I'll tell you the story exactly as it is. It's true. That's the reality. So the definition of emes is reality. Non-emes is not reality. Kaddish Baruch Hu is only reality. Nothing really exists other than the Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's only one emes. There's only one intrinsic existence in the Bria, the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So, are we emes? The answer is we are, because the Ratzon Hashem wants us to be here. As much as the Ratzon Hashem wants us to be here, we are emes. The Rishon gave us a Ratzon for what he wants to do with the Bria. As much as we do with the Bria what the Rishon wants us to do, we are Emes. So it's a fascinating pasuk. The pasuk says, L'sisa Shem Meshav. The Gemara understands it to mean, Paskin Ralachim, Chavetz Chaim, Istitim V'Kabal Lashon Hara. So the Chavetz Chaim says, and it comes along the Targum, you should not be Mekabal Shema De Shikra. A story of Sheker. So Chabad Chaim says, one second, I spent the whole Arichas being masked to you, that the Yisrael Lashon Hara is even if it's true. So why is it described over here as Sheker? The Yisrael Lashon Hara is even if it's true. So he says, because we're worried, maybe, the nature of the, if the person's not there, so something's going to cry, going to, even I'm trying to be as honest as possible, something will creep in, it's not exactly the, but the Pshuta Shemikra is Pasha. Our definition of truth and falsehood are wrong. If in the Bria, this conversation should not exist, the facts are true, but that's not truth. Because this is not what the purpose of the Bria is. This is a dysfunctional conversation. Because why are we discussing something in Lashon Hara, which you shouldn't be discussing? Why are you listening to Lashon Hara, you shouldn't be listening to? Why are you being Mekabel Lashon Hara? It has no function. It's not part of the Bria. This is not real. This is within the Tachlis of the Bria, when the Baruch Hu created the Bria, and he gave it a reality. This part doesn't belong here. It's not real. It's Sheker. There's multiple Gemaras which seem to indicate that our definition of Emes and Sheker are skewed. We start thinking about them; it's fascinating. So we know that there's a person, a lot of Mishana Dibur, a lot of change the story, the details for the purpose of Shalom. So we understand the Pshuta is we understand that there's a meter. There's something called Emes. There's something called Shalom, and Emes Shalom Nifgashu. The pasuk says, and they have a fight. And the Chazal and Bimachriya that the Shalom overrides Emes. It's talking about Emes, but it's Shalom. That's wonderful. That's acceptable. Okay. The Mor says that we have. So I understand, we know the Shalom has tremendous value. And the value system are going to evaluate Shalom as being more significant than Emes. Okay. Now I get to Gemara Rabbanan see. The Gemara says that the Tzimur Rabbanan, they're Meshanim Eliyahu, but three things. So, Mimesechta, they're Meshanim Mimesechta. They asked me, have you ever learned Erechin? Like, no, I might have learned Erechin, but why are we discussing this? So if you need to ask me, Kasha Masechta, is Erechin, I understand. You're learning Erechin, you need help, so I guess you're learning Erechin, so I have to answer you honestly. It's not be curious to know, Rabbi, how many times did you finish Shas? It's none of your business, how many times did you finish Shas? I didn't finish Shas, so, why are you discussing this? It's Anivus. So now we're saying, Anivus is more important than Emes. Okay, that's the next. And then we say, okay, then the Mor says, Purya. Alright, so the card of the Rashi means a question of Tznius, Priya Barivya. So say, okay, Tznius is more important than Emes. Okay? Then we say, okay, then we have Ushpiza. Right? So Chesed is more important than Emes. So, but we're slowly but surely knocking Emes, keeps going down the totem pole. That's what happened in the Gemara. Okay, so now the Miri comes along and learns the Gemara. The Miri comes along and has a totally different angle of the Gemara. So the Sechta is like this. So the correct marshal for Masechta is like this. So you have an off Shabbos and you go home and the Sheba is holding the learning Bab Tzia in the first parak. Don't worry, because the people are going to ask you what you're holding, what you're learning. They don't know it either. But that's not. But they learn the first parak. So you meet your old rabbi. He says, "What are you holding?" He says, "I'm holding. I'm holding a dal." Oh, so how'd you learn Pshat over there in that marsha? What marsha? So you know he's going to ask you because that happened to last Ben Azman. So Daf Beis, pretty good. You say, "We're still holding Daf Beis." Not holding Daf Dal. Because he tells you holding Daf Dal, and he's going to ask you about the marsha. So you say, "I'm holding Daf Beis." Is that mutter or not? Zatamir, that's the worst case of a Masechta. You ask me if you learned this Masechta, because you're going to ask me a question on it, and you're going to be embarrassed. I don't know it well. I think I learned it. I learned Erechin, but I don't know it so well. You're going to say, Erechin. So I say, no, I never learned Erechin. I lie, because I shouldn't be embarrassed. That's how the Miri learns the Gemara. Now, exactly what meat is this, which is more important than Emes, according to the Miri? It's not Tznius. It's not Chesed. It's not Shalom. It's embarrassment. My embarrassment, not your embarrassment. That's Chesed. It's my embarrassment. Like the Miri. No, no problem. Don't worry about it. No problem. Ois Emes. That's a Miri learns the Gemara. Pella. Okay. I mean, you have the the Gemara says in Brachas, so the Gemara says in Machlokas by Shan Basil about the lach of after you eat, you have to move work from Kamer or not. Shagig Mezid. Some more brings a story over there that the Mamur was traveling with the Shayara, traveling through the desert, and he stopped and he ate. He forgot the bench from Karma. So according to the Shagig, you don't have to go back, but he wanted to be Machmer. He wanted to go back. So he said to the Shayara, he forgot the bench. So they looked at him, out of your mind? We're in the middle of a desert. He says, I forgot a keys of Zov. I had a purse with gold coins. Said, now you're talking, we get it. We'll all go back for the gold coins to help you. Now, he had no gold coins. He was lying. The whole thing was a sheker. The Marshal made a nace that he found a keys of Zov. Right? He didn't know that's going to happen. So benching Bimakamai is more important than Emes now. Okay, let's Gemara says in Bava Basra, Leva Mona Arnin. Eiyu says Leva Mona Arnin. So this maybe we can relate to, you know, Leva Mona Arnin. So what do you do? Woman's, you know, she's a mona. It's hard for her to get a shidduch. So he told people, he says, you know, I was thinking of marrying her. He was thinking of marrying her. She's taka. He was taka. He never had such a hobby. But they heard Eiyu was interested in marrying her, so they're interested. Or the Rashi says, he would say, she was my relative. Right, you know, he was relative. There's a ma'aseh, there's a sefer, a tzaddik of Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Bloch, the Talmud of Chofetz Chaim. So he brings a ma'aseh with Chofetz Chaim that, you know, there's a Yisoyim that lived in, I guess, in Radin, I don't know, near Radin, whatever, the Yisoyim, the Shatan read a shidduch for the girl with the bacher. And, you know, she's Yisoyim, she has no dowry, she has no nadin. So what, nobody wants to marry her. She said she's related to the Chofetz Chaim. Now, that wasn't true, but the Shatan said it. So the Bacher, you know, is interested in the Shidduch. So he came and asked the Chofetz, and I think the Shatan was relying on the fact that nobody's going to ask the Chofetz Chaim if they're related or not. But the Bacher went and asked the Chofetz Chaim if they're related. The Chofetz Chaim said, yeah, of course we're related. Chofetz Chaim was nobody's fool. He clapped. Why did Bacher ask the question? Like, it's dumb, you know. So he said, yes. It was Sheker Gomer. He brings the mice. Someone brings the mice. He brings the mice. That's what Chofetz Chaim did. So Gemara Babasa, Leva Mon Arnin. You have lied right out to get this woman a shidduch. Now, I'm like, you know, what that means, halacha lemaisa, when you're getting questions for shidduchim, this is not a halacha shir, this is a muster shir. So Rekiva is living in abject poverty. His father-in-law, basically, you know, they wrote him out. His father is one of the most wealthy women, people in Klal Yisrael. You marry that Amor, it's Akiva. I'm not interested. They're living in a barn. She gets up in the morning, she has straw in her hair, and he feels horrible. Right? So there's a knock on the door. There's somebody, a neighbor, gave birth. He says, and I don't have anything to put my baby on, my wife, even straw. I don't have any extra straw, maybe. So Akiva says to his wife, at least we're better off than this person. The person was nice enough. We have straw. Doesn't have straw. The more says, it was Eliyahu HaNavi. There was no birth. There was no wife. There was no baby. He was lying. Eliyahu HaNavi is lying straight out to Akiva to make Rabbi Akiva and his wife feel better. So I know emes is very important, but the rabbi is giving you a whole list of things. But the more saying, don't worry about emes. The Maisa of the Moshe Satzal, famous Maisa of Moshe, was traveling somewhere. Bacher was driving him. Bacher gets, you know, as the Bacher gets, he gets out, he closes the door on Moshe's hand. So Moshe doesn't say a word. Continues on his way, etc. Now, if any of you have ever had the experience of having the door closed on your hand, it's extremely painful. It's excruciating pain, and it's not like you're prepared mentally for it either. So the natural response is you give a yelp at least, you know. And Rosh didn't say a word. So they asked him afterwards. He says the Bacher did me a chesed. He drove me somewhere. I should make him feel bad. So what was Rosh saying? There's a value system over here. There's the value system of the chesed, hakar satoiv, and that was more, he lived more in that world, that was more aware of that, that was more real to him than the physical pain. It's like, what are you talking about? What's the havami that you should make a bacher feel bad? Somebody did you a chesed, you make him feel bad? Remorseless pain, to make somebody feel bad, when the person did him a chesed, was more real to him than the physical pain of his hand. So mainly, it wasn't unnatural. How can you control yourself with that? Control yourself. I think most of us, many of us, if we will change the scenario, the situation would happen to us. Now, let's say we bought a lottery ticket for the one of these major lotteries, right? And just then, as we're coming out of the guy says, "You won!" Ah! You know, you probably wouldn't notice the hand, because you just won $500 million. We can relate that, we can transcend the moment because it's more valuable to us, our other thoughts. So Moshe, the musig of the achrayus and the feel, the awareness, the chesed, it was so real it's like that's more real than the pain. That's emes. Emes is reality. The Rosh Hashanah created a world, and he defines the world, the function of the world, the purpose of the world. Avraham Avinu comes along and says the purpose of the world is to be Nisdama L'Karnoi. The Rosh Hashanah created the world. Why did he create a world? He was bored one day and had nothing else to do, so let's create a world. He created a world because he wanted to create a Hechat of Chesed. He put human beings in the world and he says that I want to give you Chesed as well, and the greatest Chesed that you can be connected to me. But you all get connected to me if you're like me. So Avraham Avinu looks at the world and says, the Rosh didn't have to make Chesed. He didn't have to make a world, but he made a world anyway, because he wants to do Chesed. So I want to find Chesed. The famous Maisa, Machlokes Rebbe Dessler and the Chazon Ish, he was a fellow who had invited a guest for Friday night to Suda. By some type of mix-up, the guest went somewhere else instead. So the host, or the proposed host, felt bad that he lost his guest. So this is in Bnei Brak in the early 50s. So the Chazon Ish was alive, and Rav Dessler was there. Rav Dessler was nifter very shortly after the Chazon Ish. So Kitzer, I don't know exactly how it got to both of them, but apparently the question was, the Chazon Ish says, I don't know what you feel bad about. The whole purpose of Chesed is to make sure the person has his needs taken care of. And his needs are taken care of, so you should be happy, Baruch Hashem, this fellow has where to eat. That's the end of the conversation. Rav Dessler said, the person should feel bad, he wants to do Chesed. He says, have a raya. Precious Vayera. There's no guests. Now, Avraham Avinu wasn't stam, inviting the neighbors over for fun, right? Because people were traveling, they had nowhere to eat, they had nowhere to rest. It was burning hot, and he created a place with shade, with food, with drink, because there's a need. Nobody's traveling, there's no need. Rashi says that Avraham Avinu was being mitzar, he doesn't have Arachim, so what's to be mitzar about? There's no Arachim. Rav Hashem said, okay, he'll bring the malachim in the form of Arvim so he can do chesed with them. And Rav Hashem sees him and he runs, he's all excited. Like what's the whole sakavataria? So it's fascinating. You look at I just have this aura. You look at Haknosis Arachim. The Rambam, when he brings down the mitzvah of Haknosis Arachim, the Rambam was able, the Rambam says it's a prat in the mitzvah of Haftarecha Kamarcha. The Sifri brings down the Chnosos Arachim under the label of the mitzvah of Halach to be drachov. The Chabas Chaim in his Sefer Avas Chesed, Sechel Gimel deals with Chnosos Arachim. In the beginning of the Sefer, he brings the source for the mitzvah of Chnosos Arachim is Halach to be drachov. The Rambam says the Chabas Chaim, based on the Sefer, brings Halach to be drachov. What's enough community in the two? I'm focusing on your needs. You have a need. I would like my needs. I would take care of your needs. It's better than the chaverah. Well, after midrachim, a person should be like his creator. The Rosham didn't do achnas zarchim because there was a need intrinsically. There was no need. There was no world yet. The Rosham created a world to be able to do achnas zarchim, to be able to machnas human beings into the world. He created the need. Avraham Avinu says, I need to create the need. It's not enough to just do it if it happens. I need to create. Hashem created a need. Because I need to be a Baal Chesed to give. I need to be a one who focuses. His focus is on giving, not on taking. Romina says, I want to be the same. You have to be like your creator. So I'm looking for opportunities for Chesed. Wait, if it happens, I'll fall my way, I'll take care of it. Avraham Avinu was sitting there in physical pain. He's running because he understands that the reality of the Bria, the Rosh Hashanah created the Bria to be made to be in Bria. That's the whole Metzias of the Bria. That is reality. That's existence. See, touched into the concept of existence. That's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't look as if he was a nice person. Maybe he was. Maybe he wasn't. That's irrelevant. He touched into the reality of the Bria. Yaakov Avinu comes and takes it along, takes it a step weiter. not only when you're doing chesed are you touching at the reality of Bria, but it's not chesed. It's a shibud. It's a hishtabdus. It's a job. But it has to be perfect because there's no other reality. The Shaka Tayyat in Yaakov and Esav. It's around the Bechara, around the Brachas, but it's around the Bechara. What was the Shaka, like, what did Esav not like about the Bechara? So that's what points out that Esav, he brings the Ramban, says Esav was Ve'ivas Esav as Bechara, Mipneach Zorius Shibalibut, because he was an Achzor. So usually translate Achzor as cruel. He's a cruel person. What does cruel have to do with the Mavaz of the Bechara? He says that's not what it means. The word achzor is really from two words. Achzor. But strange. Stranger. Everybody's a stranger. In a world where my focus is me, everybody's just a stranger. The Bechara that we're talking about over here is the Bechara, the Bechara, the legacy of Avraham. That the reality is focused on somebody else. That's reality. That's the one Rashi created the Bria. That is Lidamus Diskarna, means realize what it's all about. It's responsibility. It's an outward focus. But the person who's an achzor and all he can see is himself has no shaykhus to that Bechara. So Esau says, I'm out of here. I'm not interested. That's not my thought process. That's not what I'm interested in. In contrast to that, we have a Musag of a Yaakov Avinu that under the most dire circumstances, the most oppressive type of employer and employee relationship, and he's perfectly focused on his responsibilities to the employer. That's why he's the Bechor. There's a lot of time they talk about this Musa, you know, if you want to put a label on it, Esav was about his rights and Yaakov was about his responsibilities. What are my responsibilities? The person who created a Bria, it's his Bria. I'm living in his Bria. It's his, and then there's a sign by the door. You want to live here, here are the rules. Here's the purpose. Here's why I made this place. Here is what I would like you to do with it, and here's what you can't do with it. So you imagine, make this beautiful reality, put it in, etc. The first generation says, wow, that's so nice. So they appreciate it, they recognize it, they understand it, they see it with clarity. Next generation, you grow up there, you know, like this is called normal. So emotional. Imagine you have your next door neighbor is a very, very nice person. Very nice person. Extremely nice person. He's also very wealthy. And every morning as you walk in the door, he gives you a $10 bill. Every morning, 6 days a week, years. Every week, doesn't miss. Every morning you walk in the door and he's standing there with a $10 bill. Years. One day he says, you know what? No more $10 bills. He says, what are you? It's like, I can take my $10 bill from me. I deserve a $10 bill. Yeah, you always gave it to me until now. Like, are you out of your mind? It was a chesed. I'm not doing chesed anymore. So the nimshel with the person was using was regards to life. You know, the person gives a matana called life every morning. One day he says, you know what? No more life anymore. You're talking, I deserve to live. Really? That's the Rosh Hashanah Shmuz. Yeah. The Baruch Hashem is giving to Kula Chesed, but he puts, and we're saying it's, I have rights, inalienable rights. Really? Right. We hold these truths to be self-evident. It means we don't have to prove it, because you try to prove it, it's going to be very difficult. That every person has a right to the life, right? The pursuit of happiness. You know, some people's lives are not so happy. But they can be right of chesed, they can be right of happiness. Right of simcha. I'm not sure exactly how there's such a lashon. The person makes a beautiful world. And it comes with a sign on the door. Rebbe one time gave the moshel, his moshel, he says, if I'm the owner, I can make any rules I want. So in my house, there's a sign. You may not walk in the house unless you wear a pink hat. I'm strange. But I can still make that sign, because it's my place. The Bereshit says, these are the rules. Now, the rules that he makes are for our benefit. The rules that he makes are to teach us to be able to have responsibility for somebody else, to be aware of somebody else. But it's to see the reality as it is. Yaakovino stands there and sees the reality. It's the Bereshit's world. He let us partake of it. He gave us responsibilities of how to do it. And that's reality. That's MS. So how could I not? How could I do anything which is not real? Which is not MS? How could I, in one way, shirk my responsibility to my employer? Because that's not MS. That's not the Bria. It's that thing. You look at that more right than the Sasa. The first question, the Sasa of Satav Amunah. The first question is, did you get the world? Do you understand what the world is about? Do you get it? This is a world where you're a guest. And you have a right to be here as long as you understand the rules and the responsibilities which come with it. So the first question we ask you at home 20 years, did you act honestly? Because if you take anything which is not yours, it means your vision of the whole Bria is skewed. It's a world about you and taking and yours and benefits and rights. It's ridiculous. Russia says, excuse me, what world were you in? That's not my world. It means you took a benefit from the world you didn't deserve. Yeah, I understand. This is a very, very good question. Asakta Peva Rivya. I don't want to talk about Rivya. You know, taking care of kids is a major ASIC. I'd rather just have a good time. I don't always think it was Peva Rivya. See, peace of Yeshua, you know, do you look forward to the moment that the Bria will be the quiet of a Kaddish Baruch? It's about a Kaddish Baruch, it's about me. Kavatit in Latara. Did you spend time reading the rules? Did you spend time understanding what it's about? And this, all of this, Asaph was not in. He's not into that. It would seem to me that, you know, we're reading these parashiyas, the parashiyas of Yaakov and Asaph, the division of the world, and there's the Torah view of the world, and there's the Western view of the world, Adam, the Western view of the world, which it's self-evident that the world is about rights, inalienable rights. I deserve to get something from the world. The world owes me something. The Russian owes me something. I have a right to make demands. Right? And that's not something to do with that. But when it creeps into our reality. It creeps into our reality to the point of so from that vantage point, we understand that if the Russian made the world, it's all about being aware of somebody else in Zulus. So somebody gives you a present and he spelled your name wrong on the present. So you say, you know, you spelled my name wrong. Really? This is such a nice present. Thank you so much. Did you spell it right? Yeah, of course you spelled it right. The Mary says, Mary's pshat n'ushpiza. The person puts out a meal, and you hate the food that he put out. You can't stomach it even come out. Do you like this? Of course I like this. Because whether you'll be matriach him to make another meal for you. The guy stops and says, you know, I can give you a ride. He says, where are you going? And you cop. That if, you know, if you say where you're going, the guy's going to schlep you all the whole way. You don't matriach him. He says, no, I'm just going 2 blocks. Drop me off at the corner. You're lying. He says to Mary, that's a shpiza. I could use the world to benefit myself. Then the mirror says that you can lie, you shouldn't be embarrassed. He says, emes is a hechatimsa to cudgeon you and hurt somebody, including you. The person, another person has a need. He's curious. He wants to know. You know, the Rebbe has a need to fehear you. He doesn't need to fehear you. He likes, you know, he enjoys having interaction with you, you know. So he thinks you might enjoy that also, right? Maybe, right? So you tell me, hold up, base. He says, so how'd you learn the Pshat in the Tosef? The Rebbe said, hold up, good. You feel very good about yourself. It's very nice. Rebbe feels good. Rebbe feels good. Feels good, right? You see Daf Gimel, Daf Dalet. You know, he starts talking about Halach, you know. Halach is beyond me. You know, I don't get it. So how'd you Rebbe get my master Halach? I said, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, what do I need it for? But it's not true. It's not the facts. And we have a right to use the facts to I walk in and say, you know, I know that you just picked up a large sum of money. You didn't drop it to the bank. Exactly where are you keeping it? I'd like to steal it from you. Please tell me where it is. I cannot lie. I will not lie. I will tell you where the money is. Please steal it. Ridiculous. Well, you can't lie. Shaker. So I have a right to use Emes to bang you over the head to force you to give me your money. Michelle, I didn't give Emes for that purpose. I would like to know exactly what you're doing in your house. So what were you doing in your house at this time? You're not going to lie to me. I have a right to use emes to cudgeon you, over your head to force you to tell me what's going on. That's not what emes is for. That's not emes anymore. And there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says there's a place called Kushta. Where it says Kushta was a place that people never died. Kushta is the Aramaic word for emes. It was not a Jewish city. So it was a non-Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael. People never lied there. People never died. More says if the people would got to the point they didn't want to live anymore, they would step out of the city and they would die. But nobody died inside the city because Emes is Kayim. They never died. So once there was an Amora who wanted to live there, you know, nice place to live, right? So they say, well, one condition, you know, you can't lie. But here I go, somebody knocks on the door, you know, is your wife available? She wasn't available, she was doing something private. So instead of, you know, saying, is your wife home? He says, you know, yes, my wife is home. Is she available? No, she's not. What is she doing? You know, he said, she's not home. His two children died. The elders of the city get very nervous, like what's going on over here? We never had this before over here in the city. So they call him in. So he tells them the story. He says, it's, you know, very nice, but you can't live here anymore. Please leave. Ad kan the Gemara. Okay, Shlomo Zalman asks a tshuva. He says, a person knocks on the door. A person calls on the phone and says, is your wife available? She's doing so much as private. And you're afraid you're going to have the whole conversation. You should say, she's not home. Mamash the case of the Gemara. He passes, can I get the case of the Gemara? This kushta is about facts. That's not the Torah's vision of Emes. In kushta, Tamachon wrote this or he says, in kushta, if I would ask you, do you like me? You would say, no. Matter of fact, I hate your guts. Because that's the truth. That was truth, facts, trumps all. Nothing else but the truth. Total, that's not Torah. It's mamish. That's a hechatim of using this beautiful value called truth to the detriment of somebody else. The Rosh says, that's not why I created truth. I created truth with a value system of awareness of human beings, awareness of other people, and that's what the true reality of the world is. Is to inculcate into yourself that awareness to the point that it's impossible for you to say that, because that's not true. It's not the truth of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the real reality of this Briyah.